Hello, I'm Anita Gaidra.
And I'm Don McMahon. Welcome to How Did I End Up Here? A Soft Irish Rain production for Highland Radio about people from all over the world who, like us, have made Donegal their home.
When we first asked Australian Taryn Gleeson how she ended up in Donegal, she laughed and said that her romantic failures had brought her here and kept her here, but that was all about to change.
My name is Taryn Gleeson and I'm from Australia. And how did I end up here? I first came to Ireland in 1998, and I came over here because I had been living in Bondi in Sydney, where there were lots of Irish people. You know, I also had had been going out with a guy from Belfast. He'd just come back, and so there were a lot of people sort of saying, "Why didn't you come over?" And I thought, "Well, I'm 21, and you know, why not?"
I would describe myself as a confident, creative, and happy person.
Is that all right?
I had an experience when I was 5 where somebody told me that I was a very bad girl, and I looked up into that person's eyes and I thought, I don't believe you. And I thought, no, I'm a good person. And from that point, I found confidence, and it has been unshaken since then. It's probably just grown, I'd say.
My family very much considers itself to be quite Irish. And my grandmother, all of her grandparents were born in Ireland. And there's actually Donegal connections she discovered, because my grandma, when she was 81, came over to Ireland. And we found a graveyard outside Remelton and in Tully Mountain. And it had some of the Sweeney relatives, which would be my children's relatives on their dad's side, and it also had some relatives on the O'Kane side, which is my side of the family. And so it was amazing. These relatives from both sides of the family were buried in the same graveyard. And what was even more amazing was that I ended up actually living right next door to that graveyard many years later. So this is an incredible story. The first time I came to Donegal was when I came around doing my trip around Ireland to visit the people that I knew. So I had this beer mat with the addresses from a couple of girls in Chrysler. So I came to Letterkenny to look for these girls, and unfortunately there was a sort of a misspelling on the beer mat, and I couldn't find these girls. And so I went to the cottage bar in Letterkenny and I asked these people, "Do you know these girls?" And the barman said, "I don't know them, but I bet if you come back here tonight you'll meet them." So I thought, all right, I'll stay in Letterkenny this night. I got booked into the hostel, went back to the cottage bar, and lo and behold, I met those girls. Yeah, it was amazing. But Letterkenny at that time was a really buzzing town. The nightlife was incredible. You could kind of go out on a Monday night and have an amazing night out. It was, it was just a lot of fun. So through my time of coming over to visit those girls, I ended up meeting my now ex-husband, but the guy who became my husband, and we had 3 children together. And so that was obviously a draw card to Donegal as well. Then Mark and I went over to Australia for a couple of years, and then we had 2 children over there, and I really wanted to move back to Ireland. And I think my reason for wanting to move back to Ireland was because it felt like a place of more opportunity to me. And certainly that's been my experience since I've lived in Donegal. Came back in 2004 when my oldest child was 4 and my youngest child at that time was 1.5, and set up a house in Letterkenny. And then within about a year, I was working for the Letterkenny Arts Centre and running the Baltina Festival, the festival for older people. And that eventually turned into a different job where I was the manager of education and outreach for Letterkenny Arts Centre. So I got very involved with the arts community at that point. My marriage to Mark split up in 2005, I think it was. Yeah, 2005. The shared custody arrangement meant that I I couldn't leave Ireland at that point. And I did struggle with that a bit for a couple of years. And then I went back to Australia in 2008. Yeah, I really made peace with the fact that I wasn't going to go back there. And I actually realized that I didn't want to go back there and that I now consider Donegal to be home. And I've spent the majority of my adult life here. And this is where I'm known. I'm a part of the community. You know, I've sort of become a part of lots of people's lives and they've become a part of my life. And I realized that I'm quite embedded in Ireland and Donegal and Letterkenny in particular now. And so I thought, no, I'm good with being here. This is where I want to be. And actually, if I had a choice now, I would say, oh, I want to stay in Donegal.
And obviously it's a lot more complex now because I now have five children with two different fathers, neither of whom I'm with. I am a strong believer in parents' rights in terms of both parents being playing a part in their children's lives.
You'll do the song.
Okay, well,
okay,
we'll
you sing, sing it
twice.
First.
We'll sing it twice, and then you'll know by the second time is it so.
Okay,
ready? Kookaburra sits in the old gum tree, Mary, Mary, king of the bushes.
Yeah, I have five children. My oldest is Finn, who's 14, Bella, who has just turned 12, Oscar is 9, Tilly will be 6 in a couple of days, and Remy, who's 4.
In 2005, I started looking at the Irish schooling system, and I was quite shocked, because I just moved over the year before in 2004, I was quite shocked to discover that 98% at that time of the schools were church-run and predominantly Catholic-run. There just wasn't any other alternative option for schooling in Donegal. So it was very fortunate for me that around the same time as I was looking, there were other people in Donegal who had invited the head of Educate Together to come and do a talk. So there was a group of about 12 parents, and we worked for 2 years. And I think the most amazing bit about that whole process was when, in order to get your school sanctioned by the Department of Education, you had to have 30 children enrolled. But you couldn't, to get sanctioned, you need to get sanctioned before you could get a building. So we had to get 30 parents to enroll their children in our, at that point, quite imaginary school. So that was the biggest challenge. And we had an enrollment day at the Mount Errigal. And we were just really delighted that we hit our numbers and we were actually able to open with two classes. And so the school opened in 2007. And all my children have gone there. And it's a child-centered ethos. It is multi-denominational. It is co-educational, and they have a great emphasis on democracy there. So it's the only school in Donegal that has a primary student council.
Feel the stage of our lives like a metaphysical night of the long knives. The triumph of evil requires only the silence of good men and women in the face of this violence.
I've been very fortunate to meet a very lovely man, Andrew, who I've been with now for, I don't know, nearly 2.5 years, I think. And, yeah, we have a lot of shared interests in art and writing and, yeah, all sorts of things. So it's great. And he's another Donegal man. Yeah. Yeah, I seem to have a bit of a thing. I know that they voted the Donegal accent the sexiest accent in the world a few years ago, and I thought, yeah, that must be what's got me.
Or did there a
So my name is Andrew Galvin. I'm from Donegal here, born and reared. Yeah, and I do lots of different types of art. I write, I perform, I write poems, music, plays, and I've been doing a lot of performance poetry lately. We just started hanging out as friends. We had a thing called Expansiveness Thursday, where we would just go off on a drive somewhere random in Donegal or in the surrounding area. So every Thursday, pretty much every Thursday for the first while, we just spent it together, hung out, went, ate lovely food, went to beautiful parts of Donegal, hung out and got to know each other. I suppose we were both kind of circling each other in a sense, and a little unsure of this sort of this, could this be anything? You know, we were kind of unsure. We kind of had little sort of blocks in our heads of kind of what we imagined love should be. And, you know, we had to kind of work through those preconceptions a little bit.
Staying in the present moment, really, is what helped us. So not thinking ahead about how could this possibly work between you and I, because there's all these factors going against
yes.
us. But just realizing that all that mattered was the now moment, and were we having a good time in the now moment. And really, our relationship has just been a series of 3 years of now moments where mm-hmm. we've enjoyed each other's company. Yeah. Well, Andrew realized before me, because I, after having been married once, was really not into the idea of ever getting married again. Mm-hmm. And both Andrew and myself were almost, I'd say, against marriage for the majority of our time together.
Yeah, but I think I went through just a real big seismic shift in my thinking about what marriage actually was. You know, I'd always viewed it from the point of view of an obligation and a binding and a stricture that holds you in.
And an ownership.
And an ownership. And it's just obviously none of that resonated with us. And that's the, you know, if you view marriage in those terms, it made complete sense that we knew we were never getting married.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Reverend Yeti Kelly, and these are my...
And our idea of marriage is radically different to, I'd say, the majority of people in Ireland's idea of marriage. So when we kind of realised that we could redefine it to mean whatever we wanted it to mean, what was meaningful for us, then that changed things.
It is the wish of Karen and Andrew that all the congregation would know why they have chosen to have a wedding ceremony. Their desire was born of the realization that their love was so big and so unconditional and so eternal that it could not help but ask to be celebrated. And that
I had my mother's engagement ring that she gifted me. And that had just sat because, you know, because of where I viewed marriage up until that point, it just sat and I knew it was going to sit forever. And in that moment, I realized that there was a woman that I wanted that ring to go to. And that was not something that I could consciously try and rationalize. That was just a knowing and a feeling that came from that shift. And so once that happened, it was just, we just sort of started talking about it then to see if, you know, if Taryn sort of followed me on this idea, and she did. And I think it took you a little while.
It took me a little while.
Your slogan, bless this couple, Terry Bogan. Response.
Once we realised that we were going to need three weddings to sort of meet all the different needs, and then the Surrealist wedding became the main focus because it was the biggest one. It was, 130 to 140 people we were expecting for that, whereas the other ones were both quite small. So it became a large scale kind of affair, and also because it was essentially like a 45 minute piece of comedy theatre as well, so that took some work.
It didn't make it any less binding or serious to us, the fact that it had likeness to it, you know. I mean, we believe that they can both exist together, you know.
And we did go from the sort of the comedy elements into a very genuine space for the vows.
Yeah.
We wanted people who came to, you know, really have a good time and get into the feeling of a surrealist wedding, but also we wanted them to really come away feeling like they had witnessed two people getting married, and there to be no doubt in people's minds about that.
Can we get Taryn and Andrew to the stage now for the marriage rites?
It is my wish that you will always feel free to follow your heart's desires.
And that you know that wherever that may lead you, you will still have my love.
For I want for you what you want for you. I declare that I know that I have all I need within me, and I require nothing from you.
I'm here today because I wish to be with you in this life,
to love and support you, and to share my life with you. As your lover, your friend, and your partner in life, I ask if you're willing to accept this ring as a token of my eternal love for you.
I ask if you are willing to accept this ring as a token of my eternal love for you.
The day after we got back from, the day after the final wedding, it rained. We woke up and it was raining, and Andrew said, "Oh, the universe is crying because our weddings are over."
Hello, hello, hello! Welcome to the rally! You're all very welcome. Thank you for coming. Finally getting started. I'm Max von Homo Sapien. I'll be your host for this evening. Welcome. I am what the French would call recently married.
Yeah, together we've set up the Revelry, which is a monthly cabaret night that happens in the Voodoo in the Vintage Rooms. One thing we sort of knew from the very start was that we didn't want to be a monthly event that ended up having the same artists at it, you know, every month. So, and sometimes that's hard to do because we love our artists so much, you kind of want to have them back. So, but we've... there's so much talent and so many different amazing things out there that we want to bring. So it's just really fun. We get to curate a fun party of our favorite artists once a month. Yeah, well, we'd like Abject Revelry, which is the kind of parent company, so to speak, to become a more sort of multifaceted type of a business where we can indulge various creative pursuits. So sometimes that's things that we do together, and sometimes that's things that we do separately, like Andrew's working on a book of his poetry. You know, so that will be primarily his project. And, you know, I'm working on a book as well, which is primarily my project. We're also looking at turning our Surrealist wedding ceremony into a piece of theatre that could tour festivals.
Can your sweet love sees me through your sweet love.
Donegal really punches above its weight in terms of the creative industries, and particularly kind of people who are just starting up things for the love of it and aren't necessarily sort of funded cultural organizations. But there's a great sense of sense of creativity and just people making things happen and interesting things happening and artist collectives popping up or film festivals or actors studios or cultural nights. There's always something really interesting happening, and I love that. I really love that. There's a great creative vein in Donegal, I think. My belief system in life is that things always happen for a reason, and that I have a really strong inherent trust that everything is going to be good. And that trust that I have and that feeling that I have, a faith, maybe even some people might call it, means that whenever things happen, even really quite awful things, I am usually quickly able to realize that only good will come from this. Now, the good doesn't always manifest immediately, but I can actually say, looking back on all the difficult times in my life, that it's the most good has also come out of those difficult times, massive amounts of good. So it's not only a faith, but it's actually been my experience. So that makes difficulties in life a lot easier to face when you know that this is like a stepping stone to something greater or something richer entering your life. There's been loads of times
when you know, I haven't done the right thing in that moment, in that regard. I haven't done the right thing by me. And so being willing to take responsibility for your own actions and having a trust and a faith that everything will turn out beautifully and for the best makes you really coast through life. It's a funny thing, I think, when you spend so long away from your family or so long away from your place of origin. And I think for the people that you leave behind, the you that they know is a you that existed 20 years ago and not the you that's now. So you go back and people are relating to you in a really funny way, and you're thinking to yourself, what? I'm not that person. and then you're always there for such a short space of time, and it's not a long time to really assert yourself as who you are now. You know, it's not necessarily long enough for those subtleties to emerge. So I found that was challenging, and I found that was maybe a bit difficult. And I thought to myself, I want to go back to the people who know me and love me. And that's kind of been my family of choice, which is the friends I hang out with here.
How Did I End Up Here is a Soft Irish Rain production for Highland Radio. It was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.